Hello and welcome to the Vote Common Good podcast. My name is Dan Dietrich. I'm your producer and host. Today, we are talking with Dora Rodriguez. We met Dora on the We the People ride for Common Good Immigration and Border Practice Reform. We're so grateful that we got to connect with Dora on the ride and continue to partner with Dora and support her work. Her organization, Salva Vision, works with migrants and asylum seekers at the U.S.-Mexico border. They provide food and supplies and most of all, hope for people stuck in limbo at the U.S.-Mexico border. But to understand Dora's work now, you have to understand Dora's story. When she was just 19 years old, she fled her home country of El Salvador during a bloody civil war and made the months-long journey to the United States. But because of the broken U.S. immigration system, because of our border policies, Dora had to rely on smugglers and cartels to get her to safety. It was a brutal, deadly journey that Dora survived while many perished in the Arizona desert. We reconnected with Dora today via video chat and her adorable little granddaughter, as you'll hear in the background. But before we get into that conversation to talk about the current state at the border, let's listen to Dora's story. This was recorded on the We the People ride, and you can find the video at our website, votecommongood.com. Here's Dora's story.
When I came in 1980 in July, I was already twice that I left my country and been returned. So I knew the government was going to start questioning, why is she desperate to leave? And you know, in my country at that time, we had the orejas, it's called, the people who would just look around, tell the government who they were suspicious, and the mano blanca, the white hen, it was criminal. They would just go and knock your door or tear the door down, get you out, and then your family would never see you again alive. So it was very scary. So we keep contacting those smugglers, and finally in the last week of June, they said, okay, we're gonna start our journey. Well, we got to the town of Luville in Sonoita, and the Salvadorian smugglers contracted Mexican smugglers. Well, we were lost the very first night. First of all, none of us had enough water that we needed. We didn't know, we knew it was terribly hot, but we didn't know distances. We didn't know the terrain. We didn't know cactuses. We didn't know anything. We had a death the very first night, almost like at 2 a.m, a heavy woman who had heart problems, had a heart attack and she died. So we had to leave her behind, just cover her in her own clothes and leave her behind. And we gather in around a circle and pray for her, and we keep walking. The next day around noon, a lot of us start passing out, you know, of heat, and we keep crying and we can't do this anymore. We knew we were in trouble. And I remember passing out, and then my uncle woke me up, and he had a jar of yellow liquid. And I said, what is that? And he said, it's orange juice, just drink it. I said, where do you get orange juice? But he said, just drink it, it's gonna save your life. Of course, it was pee. Our men left to look for help 2 days into this journey, and they never came back to rescue us. My uncle left, my cousin left, so I was left behind with this Salvadorian smuggler that chose to stay behind with the women. Well, he had something in mind, and he was not a good man, even alive. And all I keep hearing was that he was going to kill all of us and have sex with us and drink our sweat. And all the yelling, all the screaming, and there would be silence. So he was strangling the people, the women around me. And I crawled under a bush, and I remember he saying, oh, Dora is dead anyways, but she's a nice person. I wouldn't not hurt her, but she's gone anyways. I remember those words. Wow. And but that's how I saved my life. But in my group was a 12-year-old, a 16-year-old, and a 14-year-old. They were all sisters, and they all perished. They all died in there. And then a pregnant woman. And those sisters are the one, you know, that marked my life, because we became friends, sisters, in our journey. And they, and I always felt that I failed them. That why me? Why I was the chosen one? Why I survived? And they didn't. And I still can hear their screaming, their yelling, and asking to survive, and they didn't.
What happened next when you realized it was okay to keep going, or did he, what happened to him?
Well, he died. He died at the place. So after the fourth day, two of our the people that was coming with me, a man and a woman, were able to made it to the road, and they were arrested by Border Patrol. So immediately they set a rescue and search, and it went crazy from there. I just remember opening my eyes to the arms of a Border Patrol screaming to me, don't die, don't die, don't fall asleep, don't go to sleep. And all I can remember is asking for water and water, and he was just putting little water in my lips because we were so dehydrated, and then put an IV in my arm, and they rescued us. I lost so much weight in those 5 days, and my hair was burned, and my lips blistered, my throat, and we had little thorns every single inch of our body.
And how many of you were had survived this journey?
13. Really odd, because 13 survived and 13 died.
Since Dora's tragic crossing in 1980, the journey for migrants has only become more dangerous. The remains of nearly 8,000 migrants have been found since 1998, with 2020 being the deadliest year on record.
As you can see, it's still hard for me to tell my story without choking and, yeah, and revive every emotion. But in the past 4 or 5 years, I decided to break that silence due to the fact that it hurt when we were called rapists. It hurt when we were called nothing but, you know, people from shitholes. And I wanted the world to know who I am, what I went through, and what I'm doing, and what we're capable of doing if you just give us the chance.
Doug Padgett here out of Minneapolis. Dan Dietrich, South Bend, Indiana, and Dora Rodriguez from a set of Tucson, I think is where Dora is today. Dora, good to see you. Hey, this is going to be a Vote Common
Thank
Good
you.
Thursday short. So we're just going to do about 15 minutes here with Dora. Dora, it was such a pleasure to meet you as we were on our bike tour talking about immigration along the border, and your own personal story and the work that you do at SalvaVision is remarkable. And we're going to keep up with you and keep asking you to tell us and remind us what has been going on and what's happening right now, things that are going on. I love it that right now you are on grandma duty. I think that is tremendous. And we'd love to meet the little sweetie there with you as well. So Dora, remind us and tell people the important work that you're doing and what's happening right now. There's been a lot of, you know, while immigration in this country feels stuck and stagnant and slow, there's always changes that impact those who are seeking life in this country, the protection of this country, and safety here. So tell us generally, you know, the work that you do, but then what's happening right now down on our southern border there in Arizona and Mexico?
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. And thank you so much for this amazing opportunity just to share what's happening in our southern border in Arizona. Yes, and you're right. Things change every day. Policies change every day, which affect directly to our asylum seekers. Right now, we are back to remain in Mexico order, which is very cruelty. It is inhumane because we have people in our border towns in Arizona and the whole border towns in the whole United States, as you guys witnessed, and you're right. When you were doing the amazing ride across the country, you know, things really has not changed. People are still waiting. And right now, if we have a group of asylum seekers who present themselves to the border and do it the right way, like people ask sometimes, you know, well, that is the right way, to go to the port of entry and ask for your right, which is to have a better life, to flee violence, poverty, climate change. But what's going on is that they are interviewed by a Border Patrol officer, and they are immediately returned back to Mexico border towns with a court date for 6 months. So what that means is that these families have to remain in Mexico border town, which we know that is a potential danger for our families. It is not a very, pleasant and clean areas and hygiene and healthy areas to be, especially with the pandemic. People are sitting in crowds of more of 100 people sometimes. So it is impossible to keep them safe from the pandemic. And so this is what's going on in our towns. And Arizona, in Nogales, Arizona, is one of our bigger towns. Remain in Mexico, but Title 42 is still in full force. And that is a practice that was adopted by the last administration, which is nothing to do with immigration. It's health, for the health department to implement that, to have large crowds to be together. So that gives the last administration a, you know, they got it for in order to expose or report our brothers and sisters immediately. This, you know, they get cut and they get sent back right away to their not even to their hometown, but to Mexico, which a lot of our Central American people, they're lost when they are deported in those remote areas in Arizona. You know, we work every single day to provide, like I tell everybody who comes along with me and help, I said, we need to be just a little light in the darkness. Mm-hmm. It is a lot of dark situations going on in our immigration policies and immigration issues. But we, as a humanitarian and brothers and sisters for these people, need to remain to be the light for them. Even if it is by giving them a hot meal at our border towns, yeah, a change of clothes, a place to shower. You know, it's just to bring a little bit of dignity to our brothers and sisters. So that's what we do every single day in this area.
Yeah, such important work.
We are making bags. We are visiting over there. We, writing emails. We're writing notes. I mean, it never stops.
I wonder if you'll remind us of a story. Kim and Clayton told me, they're part of our team making a documentary. They were with you on a day when Dan and I and others weren't there, when one of the people who had been returned to Mexico had real severe damage to his feet. And at your clinic, you all cleaned up his feet and then donate and gave him some socks that had been donated by someone in New Hampshire, because she purchased a pair of socks. Do you remember this story? And can you remind us of it? Because I think it's such a good news story.
Well, what happened is we were choose by Bamba socks, which is amazing. I guess if you buy one, they give one to a shittery place. So they gave us 5,000 socks, which we gave into our brothers and sisters in all the border towns around us. But the story about the person in New Hampshire is a high school student who wrote with her high school group letters for our migrants in arriving in our resource center. And each letter had $20 to contribute to them. So it is just an amazing outreach, you know, and then it touches your heart because you see it, oh my goodness, it is a lot of good people. It is a lot of us. They are willing to open the doors to our brothers and sisters who are seeking safety. It is a lot of us. So it is.
And I just think it's so good at this time of year, especially for people to know that something like buying socks through a company like Bamba Socks, and then sometimes you wonder what really happens to those. Well, in that case, they end up in your care and you get them down to this migrant center on the Mexico side of the U.S. border for people who've been returned to Mexico, to be able to care for a man's feet that are in such dire situation. Because when you lose your feet, boy, that does a lot. And then this girl who writes a letter from, you know, with a high school group and includes $20 in it. And sometimes people make these charitable contributions and it can seem like that's just a small amount going into a big bucket and maybe nothing really happens to it. But when people give to groups like yours, that $20, you know, actually goes right from his hands, right from the girl's envelope, right into this person's hands. That's kind of amazing, actually, Dora. And I just wonder if you could say something about that, how your organization works and the good things that you do, or this money, these socks, they don't go to fund anything else, right? They're going to the direct need that people say that they want to contribute to.
Yes, our organization does not have anybody in, you know, in payroll. We all are nonprofit. We are volunteers. So every penny that we received, it goes straight to our brothers and sisters in our town, in our border towns, and also beyond, because we support people in their own countries when they have been deported, creating, you know, small jobs so they can support their families, and hopefully they don't have to do this journey again. So every penny goes to them. And, you know, the Bomba Socks, what an amazing thing for us to have, and we're able to, you know, give to them, because most of our migrants who have been in our deserts last for 3 to 2 weeks, they are lost, they're walking around in circles. Our people, when they get to our center, their feet are done, their feet are blistered, their feet are bleeding, some of them are diabetic, and that's why the, you know, the smugglers, the people who, the guides, who are they paying a lot of money, leave them behind, because their feet are destroyed. Mm-hmm. So it is a very, very painful situation to see our migrants, and, you know, and we're talking men, women, they come in that same situation to our center. So yes, any contribution, it makes a difference. I don't care how small or big it is. It makes a difference in someone's life. And as I tell everybody, only together we can make this happen.
Yeah, and we have witnessed that this is true in the work that you do. Dora, can you say a bit about, if people wanted to come and see you and see the work that you do, how that happens? Like, what would they do if someone were to come to Salvavision and to the centers that you run? What experience would they have? How do they go about doing that? Like, what are the details if someone wanted to join you?
It is really easy, because we always welcome anybody from all over that comes and visit us. And we do have a lot of students from the States, universities. They want to know what are we doing on a daily basis. So people just have to write an email on our website, salvavision.org. And express their interest in connecting with us. And then when they get here, we connect, we meet at 8 in the morning, and then we give them a ride to along the border so they can see the struggles and the sadness about this build of this horrible wall that, you know, that it has so many gaps in between, and like a, almost like a false security, you know, thing to have. But we do that. And then we also, if we have some time, we go and put some water in areas in the desert where we usually do during the week. And then we cross to Mexico, which is the Sasabe, Sonora. That's where our center is, our resource center. And it's very easy cross. You know, you only have to have your passport to be able to go, even if you are only like a mile into Mexico to the resource center, you still need your passport. And we go and take you and give you a tour of our center. It's small, but it provides dignity, provides what our brothers and sisters need at that moment, which is a hot meal after probably not eating for 2 weeks. and making sure that feet are cured, you know, and whatever they need. So, yeah, please, if anyone that is listening to us would love to see what Salvavision does in person, I am more than happy to take the day and take them. Well, we'll put Grandma's duty aside, and then we'll take everybody to do that.
Well, and Dora, you are such a kind spirit, such a strong person. Your own story is powerful, and people can watch it on our website of your own asylum journey into the United States that was so harsh and deadly for so many people. But you have this very caring spirit, and I think what I'm trying to note here is that for a lot of people, they've only heard danger stories about the border. They've only heard sadness stories about the border. So knowing that the people doing the work on the other side of, you know, of all of this sadness and struggle and perceived fear is someone like you, right? That this is Dora, the grandma with a little sweetie on her lap, doing the hand on hand and hand on feet work that is really important to make this happen. That this really is a human enterprise in a very cold system and a very bureaucratic system of walls and guns and patrols and laws. There's actually people that are really doing this work. Can you say a little bit about that on your end? Because you're, you know, having to navigate yes. both the, you know, all those pieces.
Yeah. And, you know, it's really easy to lose hope when we see, I mean, in the news, we see horrible stories of, you know, people, migrants or asylum seekers or whatever the title people want to add to our brothers and sisters, you know, invading our borders and coming to our country and taking our jobs away. And I just want to say that when you are face to face to our brothers and sisters on a daily basis, all you see really is a look of hope, you know, and a look of faith. These people have so much faith in their heart, and that's why they don't give up. And the faith that drives them is, you know, just to make it better for their families and to and to flee violence. They have the faith in their heart that is incredible. And as I tell people, really, when you're day by day in the struggle, walking their shoes with them, you're really receiving more than giving. You do receive in your heart. I can tell you enough how grateful I am to be in this journey with them. Because long time ago, somebody handed land on me. Somebody gave me a hand, and it's been my turn to give it back.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And I am so thankful to do that.
Well, Dora, you know, this is the Christmas season, the Hanukkah season, the light narrative season, right? We all talk about the light in the world. And in the Christian story, we tell the story of, you know, the birth of Jesus in this small out of way place in a persecuted situation where he's been run out of town and there is no room and place. All of those stories carry over to all situations because it's such a human story. And it's, you know, we're doing a bunch of plans with our grandkids and we're trying to take them to places to sort of, you know, have a real life experience that feels like Christmas, you know, with reindeers and lighted nativity things or whatever. And that's all good because that's what you want to do. And then there's also this very real experience happening in so many places in our society, including on our border, where that very story is being told on a daily basis that people can be involved in. And so we want to invite people to take that story, that Christmassy message, you know, and to find their way, whether it's in January or March or next August or next November. To know what you're doing and to find their way there. And I just want to thank you for your kindness and your generosity and your friendship that you've shown to us and the work that we're doing and to so many of these people that are in these situations. It's just so good to be in this work with you.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you. Thank you so much, really, for the opportunity. And, you know, and you're right. We had to keep being the light as much as we can. And, hey, and I tell everyone, we'll go to meet our brothers and sisters where they at. So I know they're in the shelters in the border towns. So this Christmas, our little ones are having piñatas, are having candies, are having little gifts, teddy bears. because we are going to make that happen. And I want to tell you, I am not alone. I have a whole army of wonderful volunteers behind us. And Tucson, Arizona is well known by a very strong humanitarian community. Yeah. We have amazing organizations. They are day to day working on this. So, you know, it takes a village, like it says, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's right. Well, send us some pictures and videos of all that, would you? And we'll be sure to share those around with people who we know will
see them. We are having a wonderful party in our center this Sunday with piñatas and food and pizza.
We'd love to see it.
Wanted a pizza.
And for folks that want to help support that that Christmas fun, they can go to salvavision.org, is that right? And send a little love your way?
Yes, yes. And they can find a lot of good stories. And they can find some documentaries that are being done in there and about stories about our resource center and our journey and everything. So I encourage everybody to visit us and just leave a note. If financially you're struggling because we understand how we are right now, please send a prayer, create awareness, share with your communities what you heard. And that helps us too, you know, because we need the world to know how we are treating our neighbor.
Yeah.
She's very
Thank you, dear. Hey, can we just say hi to the little sweetie there, to your little granddaughter?
Let me go grab her, okay?
Oh, is she? Okay, yeah, I thought she was still right there. All right, because, you know, nothing would be sweeter than just saying hello to your little darling. Times like this. So, Dora, for all of you that don't know, she has her own story of coming into the United States in the 1980s, and people in her group died in the desert. It's a powerful story. You can find it in the places where you find the Vote Common Good material, on our website, on YouTube, and on our Facebook pages. So you should really take a look at her story. It's incredible. Okay. Hi there, little one.
You want to say bye? Her name is Elena.
Elena.
Hello, Elena.
Hi, Anita.
Well, Elena, we just really hope that the world looks different for you when you're able to take the good of this world into your own hands, little sweetie. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, little
thank
one.
You so much.
Thank you, Dora. Thank we'll you. Talk with you soon.
Thank you. You too, take care of yourself. Have a wonderful holidays with your family and your friends, and come and visit sometime.
We'll be there. We will be there. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Adios.
All right. I'll just a short day today for us here on the podcast. Thanks for being around. We'll be back tomorrow, Friday, science and economics and all the rest. So we'll see you all tomorrow.